Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. You're listening to 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And with us today is Kate Hama from True Blue Dogs. Kate's going to tell us all about her program and what she's doing with all these dogs. Kate, welcome to Around Town.
Thanks, Ron. Great to be here.
Okay, so tell us about True Blue Dogs.
True Blue Dogs. We are a nonprofit established to train and gift service dogs to qualified candidates, specifically what is referred to as domestic victims of post-traumatic stress or PTSD. And I say domestic because while we would never turn away a military veteran, our veterans have numerous resources to acquire a service dog, and yet just regular citizens who may need a dog, a service dog, due to PTSD, have few to no offerings as far as getting a service dog that they don't have to pay for.
Okay, so with a service dog, I know there's specific breeds that are better as service dogs. Would that be a border collie? Would it be a shepherd? Which would be the better ones?
You know, a lot of it depends on the assistance that the person in need has. For example, we have a client who has a medical disability where her brain triggers her to fall. She gets no warning. She falls to her side. So she needs a larger breed to stop her fall because obviously she could become seriously injured if she falls and hits her head. And she has a large breed called a Havanese. It's more people know a Great Pyrenees, and it's similar to that. But more commonly, you would see a Labrador Retriever or a German Shepherd as a service dog. Again, it depends on the task the person in need requires. A service dog is determined by a dog that does a job, a task for a person, something they cannot do on their own. And sometimes we do have alert dogs that provide a service. For example, diabetic alert, seizure alert. Some diabetic alert dogs are smaller, and the person in need will have them in a carrier where the dog is near their mouth, their breath. They can sense by smell that the diabetic person is in need of medication, of assistance.
I should mention, too, that in your notes here, you've worked with over 1,200 families over the 10-year period.
Right. Our founder, Kirk Halma, he sadly passed away last year in 21, but he worked with those 1,200 families for over 10 years. During that time, training pets, he had individual owners come to him, those domestic in need of PTSD assistance, came to him with their pets, and he trained the pets to assist those people in need. That's when he became first exposed to service dogs, went away for additional training, and we transitioned into the nonprofit where then we only worked with service dogs.
You know, the service dogs that I know of, and there's organizations throughout the country, and generally there's a pretty hefty fee, $25,000, $30,000 for a service dog. But I see with your program, your service dogs are supplied free of charge, correct?
Right. Correct. And actually, they typically start closer to $40,000 a year. In our program, we bring the puppy at 8 weeks old when they leave the litter, they leave mom, into the home with the trainer. That results in a higher success rate for the dog in training because then every day, every experience becomes a lesson. Just as your dog would accompany you in life when you need service, anything can happen in your day-to-day. So the puppy begins to work from early on. So then the trainer is paid minimal, $3 a day just to have that pup in the house. And then on top of that, the training hours. And that's where the price comes into play. So again, typically it starts about $40,000 per dog. And we've not heard of other organizations, at least from our applicants, that charge anything less than $10,000. And even that is a lot of money for any one person to come up with.
So, Kate, how do you research finding the right animal, the right puppy to begin with, to know this animal is going to make a good service dog?
Right. Great question. We work with qualified nonprofits and breeders that specialize in breeding dogs just for service. For example, we've chosen to work with Labrador Retrievers and an organization down in North Carolina called Project to Heal. They found us online, and their role is to breed, you know, through generation after generation, dogs that lend themselves to service by character, personality, behavior, and size. If I'm in a restaurant or an office and I need my dog with me, it will need to tuck under my chair or at least under my desk, and shouldn't be, if I don't need a larger dog, shouldn't be large and in the way and obstruct with other activities going on around me.
And I know that service dogs are trained to wear a jacket, which most dogs, when they put that jacket on, and with service dogs, what I know about them is that when they have that jacket on, they're working.
Correct.
Right there, they're working. It begins right there. You get them when they're what? They're 8 weeks old when you pick up the puppies?
Yes, yes. And now, just as I wouldn't come in here and interrupt you at work, that's what we try and educate the public about. The rights and responsibilities of service dog teams, we've referred to them, the handler and the dog. And not all dogs will be identified with their vest. Not even may they be required to have a leash on. For example, if I'm physically challenged and I'm unable to hold a leash for my dog, then that dog is just trained to be at my side and provide me the assistance I need. So they're not required to have vests. Most do, just so people understand in public when someone is out with their service dog that they are a team. And unfortunately, there are a lot of fakers out there. They just want to take their little Fido with them everywhere. And the sad thing about that is the person who truly needs a service dog has a disability, something you and I take for granted that we do for ourselves that they cannot do without the help of their dog. So that dog, a service dog, is the only service or the only dog that has public access rights, just like you and I do.
So what's your training cycle from the time you get this 8-week-old puppy, Kate? How does it progress through the weeks of training?
The foundation of a good service dog is obviously obedience. So again, depending on the character of the dog, it will take at least 9 months, sometimes a year, depending on the experiences we wish to expose the dog to. Within the 9 months to 1 year, we begin to pair the dog with a potential person. Just as we choose our friends in life, our partners in life, we can't choose our family, but the people we choose to spend our days with, we want to have a natural bond between that service dog and the person in need, because although a service dog isn't technically a pet, they do become a member of the family because of the change that they bring to not only the person in need, but the people that we interact with.
Do you find that it's better to train a male or a female? Is there a difference, or are they all equal?
No, they're all equal. Again, it depends on the individual dog. The first dog we received at True Blue Dogs was a female, very intelligent, from Project to Heal, our partners in North Carolina. And yet, early on, she was showing signs of being too social. While she has a talent for picking out the person in the room that probably needs help, even if that person isn't aware, she has become a therapy dog, because a therapy dog can serve numerous people, whereas that service dog is one-on-one. And that first gal, our Marley, I call her Marley May, chooses to help everyone, make everyone happy. So we had to step her down from service to therapy.
Okay, so you pick a therapy dog. Is that dog therapy for that one person, or is that a dog that be used like in hospitals and locations or assisted living homes, things like that?
Great question. The top of the line is the service dog. And again, they're bonded one-on-one with the person they serve. Just below that is therapy. And as you just referenced, they could go to schools, nursing homes, anywhere that the public invites them. Sometimes we'll see them in libraries during finals week for students. A lot of universities are choosing them. They'll bring them in the dorms for the kids to come down to the main floor and just visit during stressful times. And then below that is what's called a facility dog. Actually, it's reverse. The facility dog is above a therapy dog, not quite a service because they can serve many like a therapy dog does, but they are trained specific to a facility. For example, we had a German Shepherd, Chance, who was trained specifically to work therapy visits at the hospitals. At the time, it was Santegra in McHenry. He would work with patients in rehab. So while a patient in rehab thought they were playing a game with a dog or signaling Chance to sit or fetch, they were actually working on their fine motor skills in their PT and OT rehabilitation. So Chance was therapy, but specifically trained to serve at a facility.
So when you do that, who takes responsibility for that dog? So like in the hospital, is it assigned to one person?
Always a handler, and the handler can be the trainer. In the instance of Chance, he was our dog, and my husband Kirk was the trainer, and Kirk would accompany Chance to the hospital. You could have an organization, a social service organization, that may have a designated staff person who either brings that dog back and forth to work, and maybe the dog lives with them, or, like an employee, the dog shows up to work with that trained handler to serve their clients, depending on what they need. Again, we referenced a nursing home. It could be a school. It could be a women's shelter.
So those people that are coming back from Vietnam or from Iraq that are veterans, are they better with the therapy dog or emotional support dogs?
Well, again, it depends on the individual. I always challenge people who have a pet to try and convince me that every pet isn't an emotional support animal. Pet, you know, whether it's dog, cat, horse, you name it. If a veteran has a challenge with any situation at hand, be it physical or emotional, then they definitely need a service dog. Therapy dogs are shared with everyone, and yet some veterans need a purpose. They've been in the military, they've had a reason to get up and serve every day. So we have partners out in the state of Montana, and they have, I want to say it's Dog Tags, our friends out in Montana. I may get the name wrong, but I could correct myself. If I remember differently, they have veterans that come in and serve as the trainers, and that's their therapy. They have a purpose. They train a dog that then goes off to become a service dog for another veteran, and they don't need the constant 24/7. They have that purpose, and that takes care of the need they have after they've served their country. They then continue to support their fellow veterans in training of dogs.
So what then is the follow-up to say you place a dog, mm-hmm. whether it's emotional therapy or service? What's the follow-up process, Kate?
Follow-up, but legally, actually, every dog that we at True Blue Dogs gift away for service legally is still ours. So we have visits. Some organizations, for example, will give a dog before training is complete. We at True Blue Dogs do more of a test run early on, bring the dog back into training. We have feedback with the handler, with the family, with friends, coworkers, and find out how to fine-tune the dog for the specific needs. We can't anticipate every situation, and yet the more connected that dog and that person come into, you know, play with their time together, or the more experienced the handler becomes at reading his dog, in understanding training and how the dog responds, the less follow-up is needed. But you okay. always stay in contact for the well-being of the dog as well as the person.
You know, I'm sure a lot of people out there aren't aware of your program.
Right.
And aren't aware that you can get a service dog and there's no charge, no fee. How do they find you? How do they find out that your organization exists?
Sure. We're online, truebluedogs.org. Typically, a medical professional, and I'll say that very broadly, could be mental health, physical health, will refer a patient, a client, who has the need for a service dog. And yet, unfortunately, even some of those medical personnel individuals don't truly understand what a service dog is. They'll say, oh, my patient needs a service dog because they'll feel better with a dog. It's more than feeling better. I've repeated this. It's a job. A service dog has to do a job. We have a very thorough review process. We have a 23-page application. One third of it is I'm the person in need. I fill that out and I describe who I am and my daily life. A second portion of that application is someone I live with or at least see almost daily. And it's their observations of what they see in me and how I might benefit. And the third and final and required portion of that application is the medical personnel who helps us fully understand the medical condition that the dog needs to address. And that's where the training comes into play. Is the person on medication? Perhaps the training includes finding the medication when the person in need has what I could broadly refer to as an episode and they can't take care of themselves. Or they can't hear properly when an alarm goes off or a bell that I need to answer. So there are as many different needs as there are people.
So once that dog is placed, then you, I'm sure, make trips out to verify what's going on, how things are happening,
correct,
right? Just for a minute here, just a reminder, everybody, you're listening to Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM. If you want more information about our show or have any questions, go to huntleyradio.com and click on Contact Us. We're talking to Kate Halma from True Blue Dogs, a emotional dog, service dog and therapy dog facility that offers their dogs to you at no charge. And Kate has more information to tell us about the different things that they offer with her program. Kate?
Yes. Because of our small size, our young organization, sadly, we were just ramping up right before the pandemic. A lot of people can relate to the aftermath of that. So we're still, you know, trying to get ourselves back in action. We cannot serve anyone in need beyond a 50-mile distance from our Woodstock headquarters. We just don't have the manpower for those, as you referenced, home visits, our follow-up lessons with our people in need. We are partnering since the passing of our founder and trainer, Kirk Halma. We are partnering with a lot of his colleagues in the Chicagoland areas. We, for example, will do home visits to service dog teams in our region that perhaps have gotten dogs elsewhere. And I remembered our friends out in Montana, Dog Tag Buddies. They're the ones that work specifically with veterans. As I referenced earlier, we try and aim to assist the domestic need to care for PTSD victims. Victims is a harsh word, but it can be very debilitating for anyone who's had a life experience that that continues to struggle with post-traumatic stress.
You know, I think the most amazing thing out of your program is that I know of no other programs that offer these dogs absolutely no charge. There's always a fee for animals in these categories.
And that was the goal of our founder because he knew how challenging it was. We do offer programs where we work with a family that has a dog, and that's a lesser fee. However, we highly recommend people don't evaluate themselves, go out and buy a dog, and then come to us and ask for assistance, because more often than not, the wrong dog is chosen. People choose the wrong dog just as a pet. You know, a cute little puppy grows up to be a big beast and then gets turned back into either the breeder or a shelter. And so to help avoid that situation, we always suggest people work with trainers. And again, especially if you are needing the assistance of a service dog. Unfortunately, we are not qualified to, or we are not, I should say, prepared to assist with children. There's an organization called Assistance Dogs International, and they can be found online. Their headquarters is in Indiana, and they actually acquire membership by qualified nonprofits that have served no less than 3 years in the area of service dogs, therapy dogs, assistance dogs, I'll say that broadly. But they also not only qualify by the years of service, they have to have no less than 5 active dogs out in the field serving. And while we have followed their recommendations for procedures, protocol, and our guidelines for how we run our nonprofit, we don't yet qualify because we don't have 5 dogs out actively serving at this time. That is a huge challenge, believe it or not. I referenced our sweet Marley, who didn't make it, like our Montana, who is actively serving right now, actually a Huntley resident. Many people in the area, your community, may know of Ryan Maines, a very proud Army veteran and a firefighter. He was here in Huntley, and his PTSD showed itself after his service when he came home to work as a fireman. He and Montana can be seen in the community, I'm sure, almost daily. They're a very active Huntley family. And yet Marley, who was being trained for service, had to step down to therapy. And while a very intelligent dog, and she serves properly the various people she meets and greets, and she's first in all her therapy classes, but she doesn't qualify for service. So there again, it's nothing that's done wrong. It's just the dog and who they are and what they choose to do.
So a service dog basically would be, what, about 24 months of training?
18 probably minimum. It depends on the service that they need to provide their person, how they recognize that their person in need shows that they need assistance. We don't typically ask out loud, hey, dog, I need this. Depending on the activity, we could say, fetch my phone, get my medicine by command. But more often than not, people who struggle with post-traumatic stress, their symptoms show themselves in nervous gestures or a little tick, we might refer to it, and the dog recognizes that. And the dog doesn't cure the condition, but rather brings their person back to reality by recognizing the activity and telling their person, hey, this is about to happen for you, so let's come back, and I'm here to remind you that you're going to be okay. Remove yourself from the situation causing the upset. Let's change the situation with medication or location. Whatever that individual needs, the dog is the reminder that the person can regain control and take care of themselves.
So at what point in training a service dog, Kate, do you get to where, after how many months, you say, well, I'm not sure if this dog's going to make it as a service dog. It might be a different category. Is that the 6-month point or 8-month point? Is there a number on that you can pick up?
You know, again, it goes back to the individual dog. We recognized Marley early on, I'd say within 3 to 4 months, that she was happy to serve everyone. Great retriever, which some people need that. They need things retrieved for them. I could get up from my workstation, and when I moved to another location, she was right behind me with something in her mouth to give to me that she thought I left behind.
Okay.
Another thing is, any one of us, we might not struggle with the severity of post-traumatic stress, but we'll have a bad day, and you may notice your own pet recognizing that sadness. When I lost my husband, Kirk, there were some tough days, there were some good days, there were some really sad days. And every service dog that we were working with responded to my emotional needs. I joke, if you're a Bears fan, you can't have a service dog in training in the house, because if you yell at the TV, you will have service dog at your feet immediately trying to tend to your emotional needs.
Okay. Well, so that's a unique concept.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
How many dogs do you have in training right now, Kate?
Right now, we have, unfortunately, a service dog flunky. Our Rowan came to us from Project to Heal, has a great family heritage of service dogs, but he struggles with an ear condition. So that would disqualify. If I struggle with my own anxiety, concerns about the health and well-being of my dog can push me over the edge. And so our latest dog in training recently disqualified. So we're trying to get him to do therapy, but he came to us during the pandemic, and there were great challenges in training him for public access. We did not have public to bring him out and teach him to ignore people. Additionally, we acquired a German Shepherd, Zeke. He, too, struggled, as Marley did, trying to meet and greet too many people. So right now, my two service turned into two therapy dogs.
Okay.
So we have no one in service immediately, but the partners we work with in the Chicagoland area, should we find a qualified candidate, we will do everything in our power to find them the dog to assist them.
That's great, Kate. And for you folks out there, you've been listening to Kate Hama from True Blue Dogs in Woodstock. You can contact Kate if you have any questions at all and you're in need of a dog. And remember, it's no charge. They do this on a no-charge basis. Kate, what's the phone number where they can reach you?
815-482-0339.
And thank you again, folks, for listening to our show and sharing your time with us today. You've been listening to Huntley Community Radio, and that's huntleycommunityradio.com for any questions you may have, 101.5 FM. Thank you, and have a great day.